I don't know but it's you, but I sure love the singing around here. I can actually understand it. I appreciate that. Just want you to know that this is a normal thing around here. I have good music, and we appreciate the talent that God has given to us. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God that we read this morning. And now, Lord God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to make the Lord Jesus Christ our King. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you promised us beyond a shadow of doubt that you will rule forever. And we have no doubt or question about it. And know, Lord God, that there will be no end to your reign. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, it would be a terrible thing. We did all of this and lived for you, and then all of a sudden it was not real. Thank you for proving your scriptures to us time and time again. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd work in our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you take your Bible to to Luke chapter 1, you say, "Preacher, are you starting Christmas?" Well, Target and what's that other place? Shopko already started, so we might as well start, amen. I want to make sure that I'm right, but seriously, I'd worked on this sermon quite a bit. I thought, you know, so often we have not made the Lord Jesus Christ King of our life. We have not adorned Him and glorified Him. Every day that we walk, we hear people out in our walk. We hear people using the Lord's name in vain. That just makes my heart just sink. Sometimes I'll just speak up. I'll just say, you know, they'll say something like that, and I'll say, "Well, I want you to know, He not only damned, but He also loves, and He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, and so that He could go, that you could go to heaven someday." Marcia, you have to be quiet now. Okay. When we read the life of Jesus Christ on earth, it begins in a lonely Bethlehem in a manger. There is no room for them in the inn, the scripture says. That's it. We make a big lollapalooza about the innkeeper and the inn, but all it says, there's just no room for them in the inn. And of course, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ marries his mother, and his stepfather Joseph came to Bethlehem because the king had said, "I want to know the number, and I want to know how many people live where, and I want you to go back to the place of your birth, or go back to your place of the fatherhood." And of course, Joseph, his father, was from Bethlehem. That was the lineage came all the way from Bethlehem. So he had to go back there. And of course, they had to know their name. Somebody help her, please. I know you're busy, everybody, but would you please help Marcia? Would you just put her in the back there by Rosalie? That'd be great. Thank you, Julie. For some of you who don't know, my wife had over four and a half years ago, had a ventricle cardiac arrest, and she wasn't resuscitated for 14, 20 minutes. And it's caused some problems. But I still love her, and she loves me. She thinks I'm cute and funny. What more does a guy want in life? Amen. So, amen. Thank you so much, Julie. So when we read the life of Christ Jesus on earth, it begins in the manger in Bethlehem as a lowly little child. Yet, he was the King. Yet, he was mighty God. We read Christ when he's 12 years old in the temple. And the doctors and the scribes were amazed at his wisdom. Yet, he was King. He told John the Baptizer to baptize him. And John knew who he was, for he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." He was the miracle worker. Many call him the champion of the poor. Yet he was tried and found guilty by a sham court. Though he was willing to be stripped of his glory, he was still glorious in his meekness, great in his majesty and godliness. I want you to look, first of all, at his saving name. The Bible says here in verse 31, "And shall call his name Jesus." The name Jesus means Savior. Jesus is his proper name for the Lord. Christ is the official name of the Lord. To distinguish him from others who were named Jesus, he was spoken of as Jesus of Nazareth. He was also said he was Jesus the son of Joseph. Jesus in the Greek form is a Hebrew name for Joshua, which originally was Oshia. Numbers chapter 13, verse 8, if you look in there, in the tribe of Ephraim, Oshia, the son of, but changed by Moses to Joshua. There are the names of men which Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Oshia, the son of Nun, Joshua. After the exile, the name of Joshua was turned to Jeshua. Then it was changed in the Greek form to what we call today Jesus. His name was given to our Lord. This name was given to our Lord to define the object of his mission, a Savior. Aren't you glad about that today? I am so happy that I have a Savior. You know, they were singing about Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I'll tell you, there's no sweeter name than the name Jesus. There's nothing sweeter than you can hear. If someone says, "I want you to know that Jesus loves you." He's the Savior. All of us, the Bible said, have sinned. There's none. None of us are in this world without sin. The Bible said, "In sin did our mother conceive us." The idea goes back to the fact that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, sin passed upon all men for all have sinned. It's in our DNA. It's in our genealogy. We are all sinners. We don't like to say we're sinners, do we? It's got a bad connotation to it. Unfortunately, the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we need a Savior. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was 14 years old and that preacher was preaching straight dead at me. I know there were 2,000 people in that auditorium, but he was preaching right at me. I know I was sitting clear in the back seat of the church where most good Baptists sit. Amen, Brother John and Brother Scott. Amen. I was sitting clear in the back, and not only sitting clear in the back, but I was sitting by my mama. I was 14 years old, and mama thought that this old boy had Jesus in his heart, and I just played it and faked it and thought and hoped, but I never received Jesus as my personal Savior. There's a difference there. There's a change there. When a person gets saved, there's a change. There's a difference. And we need Jesus Christ as our Savior. Secondly, not only was he called Jesus the Savior, but he also came to save us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and he shall, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Matthew 1, 21. Jesus Christ came to save us. The life of Jesus Christ on earth can be divided really into two periods. That of his private life till he was about 30 years of age. And the Bible said in the fullness of time, he was born in Bethlehem in the reign of Emperor Augustus. Mary, who was betrothed, engaged to Joseph the carpenter. His birth was announced by the shepherds. Wise men from the east came to Bethlehem to see he who was born King of the Jews, bringing gifts unto him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Herod's cruel jealousy led to Joseph's flight into Egypt with Mary and the infant Jesus, where they tarried till the death of Herod the king. When they returned and settled in Nazareth in Lower Galilee, that's up north from Jerusalem, At the age of 12, they came to Jerusalem, and last week I preached about this and talked about and spoke about how that they were, every year they came, they were faithful. Thank God for faithful parents that bring your children to church, amen. To all the services, amen. And he came to this Jerusalem for the Passover with his family. And there in the midst of the doctors, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. It's an incredible thing. How Jesus, 12 years old, I think a child at 12 years old ought to know something about the Bible. And he won't know anything about the Bible unless you're teaching and you're plugging him in and you're pumping it into him and keeping feeding the Word of God. Personal illustration, when I was a little baby boy, that was just after Noah's flood, you know, my mama used to teach me the Bible. And she'd put me on her lap and she'd read the Bible. And she'd teach me Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And on, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 121, and on and on and on. Mama would teach me those Bible verses. Hey, you know, a kid can't learn Bible verses. Don't, Mama, don't teach him, amen. I believe with all my heart. That little guy, old Teddy there, old Theodore, Ivan, I picked him in my arms. What was it, two hours old? I held that little guy in my arms. I started singing my favorite song. It's amazing what praising can do. When I said do, he smiled at me. He knows the preacher's voice. Did you know that the noise had intensified 290 times in the water? That poor kid's been, man, I was wondering who that guy was yelling at, amen. Now I know who he is. Don't you tell me those little children don't know that. I believe with all my heart, you mamas ought to sing beautiful music to those children. You ought to be careful what you listen to on the TV and the radio. You ought to be careful what you're saying because that little one in your womb is hearing it. I don't care what the world says. This is not tissue. This is a baby. I saw a guy the other day. He said, this is tissue. And he held up some Kleenex. He said, this is tissue and this is a baby. Don't you tell me. I've been a preacher 46 years, going on 47. Let me tell you something. I've held a lot of babies in my arms. I mean, right after they got born, and I just speak to them, and they look. They hear you. I tell you, there's a damnable, listen to me, there's a damnable crowd killing babies today. God have mercy on their souls. They've killed more babies than Hitler killed. In America. And freedom. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his 18 years past, the Bible said he went back and he was submitted to his parents. Well, that's a good thing about boys and girls, amen, to be submitted to their parents, amen, come under their parents. 18 years later, at 18 years, we have no record beyond this. The Bible said that he returned to Nazareth and increased in wisdom and stature in the favor of God and man. What a Savior. His public life lasted about 3.5 years. He entered into the public ministry, and when he did such great miracles, and each year kind of have a particular feature to them. First of all, the first year, maybe called the years of obscurity. Both because of the record of which we possess is very scanty, we know that he went out to the wilderness, and for 40 days he fasted, and that's when Satan came and tried him. We know that he came, John the Baptist baptized him. And that's when he went out in the wilderness and was tempted. But we see us slowly emerging into public notice. And most of that time is spent up in Judea. Then we see the second year of our Lord and Savior, his public fervor, during which the country had become thoroughly aware of him. His activities were incessant. His fame rang through the length and breadth of the land. It was almost wholly passed through Galilee. Everybody was talking about this Jesus. Then we find the third year of opposition, when the public favor embedded away. It just ebbed away. His enemies multiplied. They assailed him more and more intensely. And at last he fell victim to their hatred. The first 5 months of the final year passed in Galilee and the last in other parts of the land. The only reliable source of information regarding the life of Jesus Christ on earth is gospel. It presents a historical detail of his words and his life and his work. So many different aspects about our King Jesus. God is measuring the depths of man's needs and could only meet their needs with the gift of the only Son of God. What shall take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. How can I get through life without Jesus? I see people, and I see these people that are being killed, and I see these people that are going through horrible things and terrible diseases and terrible things that are happening in their life. And I look at them, I wonder, how can you be there? Many times I go up to the hospital as a chaplain up there, and people have, they don't have Jesus. They don't even have a hope. And you wonder how you can help them. You can't. Only Jesus can save the wicked soul. Years ago, in the Olympics, an American diver off the high dive came off and struck his head on the board and immediately killed him. And great anguish upon many people in the Olympics. But it was something strange, something foreign for the American diver's parents and family had known Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the comment was, what's wrong with heaven? We know we'll see our son someday. Ironically, a Russian diver, same thing happened to him. Smashed his brains. Killed him instantly. And the parents were going crazy. This was their only son. If you've ever been in Russia, you know that most families only have one boy. That's all they have. They don't have a lot of kids. They only have one child because of the finances and things. And they were grieving crazy. And someone said, how can this American family, it must be they're Americans, it must be they're Russians. And the Christian says, no. It's because they have a Savior. They know they'll see the child again. Years ago, there was a wonderful missionary couple in Korea. Back in the 40s. And they had struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled in the land of Korea. Hardly any people came to their church, but a few. And one day, their son died. And as they were carrying their son to the cemetery, a group of people were singing their way there. And one Korean lady said to another Korean, what is this? She says, well, that's the missionary's son. He died. And the lady said, how can they be happy? We Koreans, when our babies die, that's it. They're Lord in the grave and we'll never see them again. How can they be happy? And the lady says, I heard that they'll see him again. Their religion teaches that you die. But if you've invited Christ to be your Savior, you'll live again. Thank God for Jesus' sacrifice for us. As a Savior, He saves from sin. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The sin of defiling. And sin is defiling. Sin is condemning. It has great power over us. But He will save us from sins defiling, from sin's condemning power, from the love of sin, and from the wrath to come because of sin. 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he hath raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Years ago, I wasn't acting very good. I was a pretty active young boy. And I was spoiled. Brother, I mean spoiled. I had three sisters and it was me, the brother. And I was spoiled. Terrible. And I did something. And I should have got a pretty good time out. If y'all know what time out is, it means the Board of Education, the seat of learning. Amen. And my father said, "Not this time." He said, "Not this time." You see, when we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us, you see, I came to my dad and I said, "Dad, this is what I did. And I'll never do it again. I'm so sorry." He said, "You're forgiven." And my sisters thought it should have been execution time. They wanted me to get beat for it. And my daddy says, "No. He's asked for forgiveness. I've forgiven him. Not this time." Whew. Thank God for Daddy. Now I tell you, there's plenty of other times I'm not boasting about, but there's plenty of other times I was beaten so many times you could hang my backside on the wall, man. I'll tell you what. But let me tell you something. God says, when we come to Him and say, "Lord, I need a Savior. Forgive me my sins that come into my heart." And Satan comes and says, "What about him?" And Jesus is going to say, "Not this time. Not this time." He's forgiven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, "And to wait for the Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." There's a wrath coming. Satan knows that day is coming. His days are numbered. But if you've invited Jesus Christ to be your Savior, He's the Savior of the world. He'll come in your heart and He'll live there forever. Isaiah 53 says, and He gives children of Israel a glimpse of Christ Jesus' human, his human nature, His suffering, but also told about the glory that should come. It begins with a complaint of a small number of those who believe the report concerning Him. Tells of the power of God, but He would not exert it. Isaiah 51 told them the reason why they could not believe in Him was the fact of outward circumstances. In Him was found no comeliness in Him. Hence, He was treated in general neglect and contempt. How can this be the Christ? How can this be the Messiah? The way He looks. How can this be? Isaiah 53, 2 and 3 told us that they were going to be more unkind and ungenerous, since it was grief and sorrows others that he bore, and for the sins of others for which he was wounded and bruised, that we might have a healing. What does Isaiah 53, 4 say? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That's what they thought. Said, hey, we saw what was happening. We saw God beating on him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Yet he looked and bore patiently like a lamb to the slaughter and the sheep to the shearer. You know, sheep never fight their butcher. I grew up on a farm that had sheep. Once that sheep was caught, it's pretty pathetic. They just give up. Once you get a sheep off their feet, they're limp. There's no fight in them. This morning, Brother Tristan and I were trying to put my new little dog in the kennel. Boy, I'll tell you what, he had fight in him. He didn't want to go in that thing. He slipped away from Tristan, two, three times, and got away from me a couple of times. Finally, we cornered him and got that little stain. I mean, he's a little bigger than a rat, you know. He's got fight in him. I'll tell you what, you grab a little lamb, just like that, they'll submit. You take a big old ewe sheep, you're going to shear her. You just get her off her feet, and she just lays there, and you just shear the wool off them. To me, it's pathetical. They have no fight in them. That's what they said about Jesus Christ. He was oppressed. Our King Jesus was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet, he openeth not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. They tell me when they, in the Old Testament time, they take that lamb and have the knife in their hand and bring that lamb's head back, and just when that lamb's eyes and that priest seen it, he cut the throat. No bleeding. Over. That's what Jesus did for us. How can you not accept this Lord and Savior, King Jesus? How can you come to a service like this and walk away without making him your personal sacrifice? How can you walk away without him being your personal Savior? How can you say things and talk about church and things, but without receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. How can you walk away without accepting King Jesus? He has come to save all sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. David knew about it in Psalm 23. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John said, the youngest of all disciples, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Do you know it today? If someone came up and maybe knocked at your door and said, can I ask you a personal question? And you said, sure, why not? If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you're on your way to heaven? Or do you kind of have a question? Well, I really don't know. I'd hope somebody would say, well, let me show you something, what the Bible says. The Bible says, for whosoever, listen to me now, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, that's sure too simple. No, God made it simple. God made it simple for the little ones to the eldest. God made it so that all would come to Christ, that none should perish, but all should have everlasting life. I pray today, if you're here today and you haven't made Jesus Christ your King and made your Savior, I pray today you'll invite Him to be your Savior today. Father, I pray that You just speak to our hearts today. We thank You for the promise of the Word of God. We thank You for You who are King Jesus. Someday the Bible said You're going to come riding on a horse, a white horse, with a white robe and a crown on your head, and You are going to come and You are the victor. Lord, before You came as a lamb, willing to give Yourself, willing to give Yourself to all mankind, willing to take all kinds of troubles and sorrows and hatred and spit and screaming and cursing and blasphemy, You are willing. You came as a Savior. But Lord, it won't be long. You're going to be coming as King and Master. Help us, Lord, today to make You our Savior, so that when You do come, You will be our King and Master. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. You know, I've talked religion. I speak religion. I'm not afraid of religion. But you know, I've never personally come to the point in my life that I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. There's never been a time I've looked up to God and said, God, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Forgive me, my sins that come into my heart. You said, preacher, I've never done that. Well, why don't you today? In the quietness of stillness of this hour, you would say, God, I know I'm a sinner. That's not too hard to know. Amen. God, I know I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior to forgive me of my sins. Father, come into my heart and be my Savior right now, right here, at this spot, at this time, forever. And if you did that today, why don't you thank Him? Say, thank You, Jesus. Forgive my sins that come into my heart. Sure, I'll pray it once more. Just say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I need a Savior. Forgive me my sins. I believe You died on a cross and rose on the third day. Come in to be my Savior today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I prayed that today. Would you lift your hand? Let me thank God for you. God bless you. Anyone else? Yes, that's what I want. I want Jesus to be my King. I want Him to be my Savior. Anyone else? Let me pray for you. I promise I will not point you out. I won't name you, but I certainly like to help you. Father, I pray You'd be at this time of invitation. Lord, if there be anyone here today that needs You as their Savior, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, You'd draw out their hearts and tell them, you know that preacher's telling you the truth. You know he's telling you what the Bible says. God, I pray You'd help us today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Pianists are going to play. You're here today. And you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I sure want to know that. Why don't you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, meet me up front and say, preacher, today I want that, what you're talking about. I want Jesus as my Savior. You come right now. Have you asked Jesus in your heart? You say, oh, preacher, that's kind of scary. I tell you what's really scary, hell. The Bible says you'll burn forever. God have mercy on our souls. You're today and say, preacher, today I ask Jesus in my heart. Why don't you come down? You maybe say, preacher, I'm not sure about what you're talking about, but I like to do that. Why don't you come? Maybe you're here today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believers' baptism. Why don't you come? Maybe you're here today and say, preacher, we've been looking for a church. This is the one we want to join. You come. This is where God's speaking this to us. Once again, you're here today and say, preacher, if Jesus come right now, I don't think I'd go to heaven with him. Hey, why don't you take care of it? Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, don't wait till tomorrow. Because we never have a hope for tomorrow. For I know a lot of people that tomorrow never came for them. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you love him as your Savior? Would you take Jesus today, the King of this magnificent world that he has created? Didn't you hear today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believers' baptism. I need to take care of that. Why don't you come? Maybe hear today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve at. Why don't you come? Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that you are our King. God, help us to act like you are our King. Help us to walk the King's highway. Help us, Lord Jesus, to do the things that the King would want us to do. And Lord God, most of all, that we're looking for that day that you're coming. And you will be King and King and Lord of Lord, no matter what anybody else says, you're coming. And the Bible said every knee shall bow and every head shall bow and every knee shall bend to you, Lord God. And they're going to say that you are Christ. You are the Savior. Lord, now speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.